Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have a couple fantastic guests today. We had great guests last week, too. And speaking of signal graces, I had not watched a Father Sheen movie on YouTube in quite a while. He kind of, early on when I was a convert to the faith, I watched a lot of Bishop Sheen. And last week we had Karen Fulte on to talk about the Archbishop Fulton Sheen Spiritual Center up in El Paso. And later that afternoon, I got on YouTube, which is where I try to find my Catholic educational videos to learn more about the faith, and up popped Father Sheen. So I watched one of his videos, and it was fantastic as always. So go back and listen to our podcast from last week on iTunes or Podbean or on the free app, which also comes in Spanish. You can download that at the Play Store on Google if you have an Android, or at iTunes if you're on Apple. This week, we have also fantastic guests. John and Kay Griot are with us from Washington, Illinois. So we are glad to have them here. They go to St. Patrick's Church in Washington, where Father Julius, who had previously here in Bloomington Normal been at both Epiphany as well as Holy Trinity, Father Julius went over 4.5 years ago to St. Pat's in Washington.
That's correct.
Okay. And has continued to work to finish his degree that he was working on while he was here, and got that wrapped up and went back, I think you said, New Year's of 2017?
Well, 2018. Eve of, yeah, 2017.
28, so the beginning of 2018, and has been hard at work building St. Patrick's Nursery and Primary School over there, which is what we're going to talk to the Griots about. So thank you for being with us today. And go ahead and, I guess, give us a little bit of a story. We talked before we started the program about the divine miracle somewhat that was the building of this school.
Well, I got to know Father Julius when he first came to St. Pat's, and I was fortunate to travel with him to Uganda to open a church that several parishes had helped fund in his home village. And then that was in 2015. And later that year in 2015, he was inspired, kind of challenged by a bishop, to do something beyond his immediate family, to go above and beyond. He was given many gifts as a priest, as a person. And so he was inspired to concept and design and develop and fundraise a boarding school for 500 children, ages 4 to 14. And, you know, when you think about it, a boarding school is a massive undertaking, because it's not just a school building and teachers and curriculum, it's also housing and the whole...
It's 24 hours
a day. It's 24-7. So he asked a number of people in the area that he knew, kind of a diverse group of people, if they would help him in this venture. And that evolved over the course of the 2016 timeframe into a board for Building Hope in Kids Uganda. And our task is to support Father Julius and to raise funds that we then provide to him to help build this school.
That is awesome. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, 500 kids, that's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids.
And then, yeah, just to not have them during the day for 8 hours, but to be responsible for them 24-7.
Right.
So what type of geographic area, then, do they come from?
Well, there's two distinct groups of students. There are maybe three distinct groups of students. There are day students who commute to and from the school every day, and they have a couple of buses to round them up. And that's from the area of Mbarara, which is one of the larger cities in Kampala. The school's on the outskirts of Mbarara.
When you say larger cities, what's your guess at a population?
A roughly equivalent to Bloomington Normal, okay, metropolitan area.
So pretty good size.
Yeah, fair size. So Then there's another group of students who are boarding students, also many from that general area, but will board and live there day and night and have their meals, clothing, food, all that. And then there's another group of children who are coming from very, very rural areas of the country, including where Father was raised, Father Julius, where they live in shacks, and there's dirt roads to get there, dirt paths, I might even hardly even call them roads, where they don't have electricity, they don't have running water. And these students are being sponsored by individuals here in central Illinois.
Gotcha. That's what I was. So Father Julius tapped you and some others, but to say, hey, I want to build a school. What was their initial reaction to that?
How are we going to do that? Good idea, Father.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Good mission. And that, you know, that. So as John said, this board developed and they tried to begin with fundraising activities and reach beyond our own parish and then out to all the parishes where Father served and then beyond that. It's really grown considerably. I think John mentioned at the mission that we gave last weekend that there are now donors in 21 states.
Wow.
And throughout Illinois. So we're working beyond that, beyond our immediate area to reach out to people and explain the mission to them, that how the school will be a big part in breaking generational poverty. These young children see their parents have nothing, their grandparents have nothing, and the only way to get out of that, as Father did in his own life, was through education. And the boarding school aspect is so important for many of these students because of the area in which they live. If they weren't attending a boarding school, when they go home and after school was out, they would be involved with their family just maintaining their sustenance. And at a boarding school, we can provide for them, as we like to say, body, mind, and soul, and have electricity, have clean water, have good food, nutritional food, and they can then develop their educational level so much better.
All the things that we take for granted here.
Right.
We clearly do. It would be typical in Father Julius's hometown of Nosy that a student, if they went to the local public school, that they would get out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, didn't have to go out into the gardens and the fields to help till the vegetables, the fruit, and gather it for that evening meal, and also gather firewood to cook the evening meal, and also go haul water. So, and then by the time they eat and do all that and prepare for that, then it's 7 o'clock and there's lights out because they live right on the equator, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is light and dark. And so,
if I could get my kids to do that much chores around the house, we'd be in good shape.
But that's just to get by. That's just to live till the next day.
Yeah.
So it having time to study is like way down the list.
Yeah. Especially if it's dark. It becomes very difficult by candlelight or whatever light
that they have. And that's what they would have. It would be candlelight.
And this is about the proportion of the three categories of students that John mentioned. There's about 100 in each of the three groups.
Gotcha. And so this, you were saying, really manifested the actual building in 1 year.
Yeah.
Or the buildings. I mean,
that's right.
It's a compound. Yeah.
And unequivocally, everybody that I show these pictures to, what it started off for, when you thought you're building a school, it's okay, you're building a school, it's a building. But then when you see the pictures, you see it's a massive complex.
Yeah.
And to do all that in a year is amazing. We've really just been blessed. The Lord has been good to us with through donors and through the staff that Father's been able to pull around him. His brother, Gerald, helps immensely, who lives very close to the school, because Father's parish is about an hour and a half away where he lives. So he can't be there every day.
Yeah.
But his brother, Gerald, is there every day, and his Father's eyes and ears on site.
So I think fundraising is pretty straightforward, but you were talking a little bit before we started about the actual process of the undertaking of the actual building. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that had to be overcome.
Well, first of all, it was getting the property that was large enough for the facility. Father had some other property that he had acquired over the years, and he was hoping to build a school on, but the engineer said it's not big enough for what you want to do. So he actually sold a couple of smaller pieces of property and bought this larger piece of property on the outskirts of the Embrara area. So big challenge there. And then to get the school designed and start building it. And it's just amazing to understand the size and the nature of things when you're building a boarding school. Once you're into it, you realize the complexity and the magnitude of the situation.
For example, the classroom block is longer than a football field.
Wow.
So that really, I was so amazed when we went there last September to see how large everything is. And then it's what we refer to as the classroom block is two floors. And so that had to be built. You had an administration building. You have a dining hall. You have a separate kitchen area. And then there's also some facilities for staff to live.
On a limited basis.
Four or five buildings.
That's correct. There's four major structures and four smaller structures on the site at the moment. That's phase one.
I was going to say, so what percentage of the full vision of Father Julius is kind of complete at this point?
I would say about 40%.
Wow.
Because in addition, the next phase two is going to be built in 2019 is two dormitories. This first year, the second story of the classroom building is being used as temporary dormitories and a lower level for classrooms.
Gotcha.
And we could do that in a startup mode, and we're expecting to do that over the course of 2 years and then build dormitories. But we were hoping to have as many as 200 children, 100 sponsored and 100 paying students. And we were amazed and overjoyed that we have a total of 310 students. So right out of the chute,
we gotta get going.
We're at capacity.
Yeah.
We're at capacity on both housing and classroom space. So we're having to pull forward our dormitory construction, accelerated. We were going to start it this year and finish next year. Now we have to start and finish this year. So that puts the challenge not just on the construction, but funding the construction.
We have a fairly newer term, I think, in society here, farm to table. And this is truly a farm to table construction project. So when you say accelerate construction, this isn't just order more supplies.
Correct.
And put them together.
We have to. So we have to raise more funds to make this happen and
sure.
hire people and to do the construction and to buy the materials. One of the very interesting things about their construction technique over there is all the buildings are made of blocks, solid blocks, and they build these blocks on site with sand and clay and concrete, and they make them one at a time in a form that they built, and then they sun dry it for a few days. And they've built so far over 30,000 blocks.
Wow.
For the construction thus far.
Yeah, that's
more
amazing.
To come.
So that's part of how Father Julius shepherds our donations, is to maximize what he can get out of the money. The entire structures that were built in the 53-week miracle, we like to call it, were built for under $600,000 because they made a lot of the things on site. The blocks that John mentioned and also the framing of the windows and the doors were formed on site.
Yeah, and any idea what the square footage is of the complex? I mean, it's huge.
I do not.
Okay.
That's a good question.
I mean, it's huge. I saw the
picture. I wish I knew it.
And I don't know that that's a figure that, you know, would be readily available, but it's huge. So the idea, just to kind of give folks the idea that the $600,000 price tag, the price per square foot has to be next to nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, just the classrooms are over 100 yards long.
Yeah.
And two stories tall.
Right. So we'll be building dormitories this year. Each, well, boys and girls, each will house about 250 children. So they will be three stories tall, each of them. So each floor will have about 80 or 85 children per story, per floor. It's interesting to note as well, we're building a boys and girls dormitory of the same capacity, because our student split is right at 50-50 boys and girls. So it's a very gender neutral, if you will, meaning there's not a preference of one gender over the other. And we're excited about that.
Yeah. Now, I see your shirt here. Is this the uniform that the kids have? Or I'm assuming they have some type of uniform.
Well, they do have a uniform. This is not it.
Oh, okay.
When my wife and I went over in September to kind of give a hands-on assessment, representing the board, representing our donors,
sure.
to be there and see it, to be able to give a firsthand account. We bought several shirts to wear
gotcha.
For ourselves, put the school logo on it, and brought several for Father Julius and some of his key staff.
Awesome.
So it's kind of a, so I put it on today
yeah,
on the radio
great.
Just to be in the mood.
Yeah, absolutely. Mood. What? Go ahead.
I was going to say, John, why don't you describe the logo? People can't hear see it.
I can see the shamrock from here.
Right. So it's both St. Patrick Nursery and Primary School, but then it has a shamrock for St. Patrick, of course, and a cross and books, partly because we're trying to nourish the children, body, soul, and mind. And the logo is Foundation for Excellence.
Yeah, it's awesome. What's the cost of boarding school in Uganda?
For this school, for a full year, three-month terms, it's $600.
For the year?
Yes.
For the year.
Man, I need to send my kids over there, I think.
Yeah.
That's food and room and...
Some clothing.
Wow.
Tuition, room and board, fees, supplies.
Now, what clothing. About just the day students then? What is the...
Half of that.
Half of that. Okay.
So they're...
So it's a good deal to stay 24/7.
Yeah, it really is.
An extra $300. Yeah.
That's one of the things that Father wanted to really emphasize about the school, that the largest expense in operating the school isn't the staff, it's food. They want to establish...
Trust me, I know.
that they're providing nutritious meals for the students and really assure the parents that they're trying to draw as attendees that they're really going to take care of the students and provide them nutritional meals.
Awesome. And you said it's preschool.
Preschool ages 4 and at the moment up through age 12.
Wow.
And eventually over the next 2 years, we'll expand up to age 14. So basically pre-K 4 through 8th grade.
And you did say there is public school in Uganda. What is the percentage of kids that go to school in general? I mean, I'm assuming most of them probably aren't graduating high school, to your point about kind of generational poverty. And
I don't know. Most students go to primary school.
Okay.
Through some level.
Yeah.
But maybe third, fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah.
Then they spend more time in the fields and helping.
Yeah. You got to survive first.
You got to survive first. And almost, I can tell you, because I learned from being in Uganda a couple times and from reading Father's Julius's doctoral thesis, which was about education in Uganda and compared to the United States and compared to the objectives they set, that the public school system in Uganda is limited. It's understaffed, under-facilitized, underfunded.
It's what you would kind of think.
They
probably
have it, but it's not.
Yeah.
So essentially all of the better quality schools in Uganda are private schools. And it's generally either, they're almost all Christian, either Catholic or Episcopalian, with Church of Uganda.
Yeah.
Mostly Catholic, but a fair number also of the Church of Uganda.
They say nobody educates more children than the Catholic Church, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just, I mean, obviously we still have a lot of Catholic schools here in the United States, but definitely abroad, and that's both evangelization and mission of education.
So it's important, I think, that we can provide opportunities to educate children, but it's obviously the personal drive, and they have to have the want to do it and
sure.
motivate. They have to be educated.
Yeah.
Have to be open to that, but just the opportunity.
Yeah,
there are so many students and children who want to do better, want to learn, but they're burdened with the immediate needs of themselves and their family.
Yeah,
as an example, Father Julius is one of 10 children. He's number 3 of 10. Not only is he the only one of the 10 who's gone on towards advanced education, you know, with his doctorate a year and a half ago, he's the only one to finish high school.
Wow.
So his other siblings have to work, support their children, their families. So he's the only one to finish high school, much less on and on and on
yeah.
and on. So many of them didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, you know, from the family's perspective, I'm sure it's a great sacrifice on the family to, you know, unfortunately, to give up that extra labor of, you know, trying to provide food and those types of things, you know, in the family setting. You know, the mom and dad are making a sacrifice to say, hey, we, for the betterment of our child, you know, we're going to send him to a boarding school and hopefully, you know, end this kind of generational poverty and get them educated and those types of things. I was going to say, you said the comparison of school from the United States to Uganda. My favorite comparison was from Father Julius and was in a homily that he gave at Epiphany when I went to church at Epiphany. And he said that growing up, you know, the Catholic Church when he was in Uganda growing up, that they weren't allowed to eat meat on Fridays. They abstained from meat. And he said he always thought it was interesting because he's like, we never ate meat, period. So what was this big deal? And he said, I came to the United States and I was like, oh, now I understand why it's a big deal over here. And I'm sure in Europe it's the same thing, but in first, you know, more first world countries where we are constantly consuming meat, it's a big deal to say, oh, I'm not going to eat meat for an entire day. But it was an interesting comparison to the way that he grew up. So. Yeah,
he told us that they would eat meat once or twice a year.
Yeah, on the big days, on Easter.
And feast day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Even now when they have a celebration, like when they open the church or when the school official dedication will be this summer, that they talk about how many cows they'll have to kill because people will come, they will have meat at the celebration.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not regular.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to John and Kay Griot from St. Patrick's Church in Washington. We're talking about the St. Patrick nursery and primary school that they have helped build with Father Julius's inspiration and helped support him through his mission there. If you're just tuning in, like I said, I encourage you to go back and listen to the first part of the conversation. We're going to take a quick break, but you're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose hell. What God is doing is allowing our free will choice. He never wants us to say no. He always wants us to be in love with him. And people need to understand, after we die, you only got two choices, heaven or hell.
Beauty.
Smoking or non-smoking.
Exactly.
That's it.
Morning Glory. With Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and the Morning Glory team.
Monday through Saturday at 6 a.m. on Catholic Spirit Radio.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio, on 89.5 and 92.5 in Bloomington. And if you're in the metropolitan of Pontiac, you can listen to us on 88.3. And as always, you can find us at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have a couple great guests with us today. John and Kay Griot are with us from St. Patrick's in Washington. We joked that we needed more St. Patrick's churches around here so we can keep them all straight. St. Patrick's in Washington and Father Julius, who I'm sure a lot of folks in the Bloomington-Normal area remember from his time at Epiphany or Holy Trinity, has been working with a board of folks, mostly in that area. Most of the board members are in Washington.
Washington and East Peoria.
Washington and East Peoria. For the last, almost 3 years now since the board kind of, you said 2016?
It was evolving in 2016. We officially became a 501c3 in April of 2017.
Gotcha. To build a school, St. Patrick's Nursery and Primary School in Uganda. And so we've talked a lot about really the nuts and bolts of the school in the first segment. So if you missed that, go back and listen to it. In this segment, obviously, I wanted to talk a little bit about how folks can help to sponsor Father Julius's vision and his mission there to hopefully end some generational poverty and help educate the kids. And it is a boarding school. And we talked a little bit in the first break about how the entire year is $600. To basically clothe, clean, feed, and educate a child in Uganda. So definitely the mission is, I would consider, extremely efficient when it comes to providing all of those services for kids. So you mentioned that the organization is a 501c3. So for folks that are looking for tax breaks this time of year, they're more than welcome to make a contribution. What would be the easiest way for folks that have listened to try to find out more information about the organization and ways to get involved?
I think the easiest way would be to go to our website,
okay,
which is www.buildinghopeinkids.org.
Okay.
That's where we have information about the school, the different phases of the progress, the mission, and the ability to donate on a secure online donation site.
Awesome. And you said that you guys can accept, I'm assuming that takes credit cards, cards.
It takes credit cards, debit cards, or electronic funds transfer from your checking account.
You guys will also accept in-kind stock transfers, mutual funds, that type of...
That's correct. They would contact us directly on that, and we would work through that with them. We've had
grain, people can donate grain, and you'll sell it off for them. And,
I don't know about that, but we would
you can figure
talk
it out.
About it.
You can figure it out. It's not that difficult.
One thing in regard to contributions, there are several employers that offer matching donations, and State Farm is one of them.
Yep.
So it's also a extra benefit if you have that kind of an employer program to indicate that, and your donation is doubled.
Yeah, absolutely. We always like to try and pick up those extra little nuggets of free money.
So in addition to our website, many people are on Facebook. We have Building Hope and Kids Uganda on Facebook. It has lots and lots of information, pictures, updates on what's going on. But from a donation standpoint, it would be back to our website. And there are links on our Facebook page back to the website to be able to donate.
You said that they could also mail a check.
They can mail a check to our address is Building Hope and Kids Uganda at Post Office Box 612, Washington, Illinois, 61571.
And I'm sure if they didn't catch that, it's on the website.
It's on the website.
Absolutely. We've had guests on before that have, you know, fantastic causes, and obviously Father Julius's vision and mission to help these children is definitely a worthy cause. You know, one of the unfortunate things in I think the society that we live in today is skepticism from folks over, you know, am I giving money to the right charity? Is the charity doing the right things with it? Can you touch a little bit on that?
I would be more than happy to do that. One of the things that, you know, there's horror stories about where money's going when you donate, and there is even more concerns when you say you're going to donate, when you're going to send this money overseas.
Yeah.
Concerns about middlemen and corruptions and the like.
I get emails from guys all the time in Africa that tell me that.
Yeah, you won a prize.
Yeah, exactly.
So, first of all, with our board, Building Hope and Kids Uganda, here in the United States, where we have 7 board members total, is that we're all volunteer. We have no staff, no paid staff. We do our own staff work, us and helpers, more advisory council members. So the amount of money that is used from donations to fund the fundraising organization is minimal, less than somewhere around 2%. So that means 98% of dollars goes. So the only expenses we have are things you have to have.
Yeah, the P.O. box, the website.
Post office box, website, postage, stamps.
Yeah. Tax return for that 501c3.
Yeah. And so we send all of our money to Uganda. It's not being absorbed by excessive overhead and salaries and the like. Then secondly, how do we know that that money is getting there? Well, we take every penny that we bring in, every penny goes directly into a bank in the United States and is accounted for. And then periodically we wire bank to bank from our bank in the United States to Father's bank in Uganda. And then that money is in Uganda, goes through a currency conversion, and Father Julius and his organization pulls money out to pay the bills. So then the question could also be, okay, so you've send all the money over there, and it's a clean to get over there. How do you know it's being used properly? And the proof there is in the pudding.
Yeah.
That this magnificent facility has been built with under $600,000. There's just no room for any nefarious.
And you've been there.
And I've been there. We've touched it and felt it. We saw when we were there, my wife and I went, that we saw 50 people on site working.
Building bricks.
Building bricks, welding frames, painting, doing electrical, plumbing.
And it sounded like, to go back to the bricks, because that just blows my mind, these are like half the size of a cinder block, right? I mean, it's about the size, it's the about footprint, but it's about half as high.
Yeah, it's about 5 inches thick rather than 8.
Yeah. That's a big block.
And they're solid.
Yeah. That's not a brick. I mean, that's a block.
That's right. It's a block. And it was interesting, Father pointed out to us that he was there one day on site, and there's this lady there handling those blocks and doing the mason work.
Yeah.
With the mortar and the trowels and the like.
Good. It's an equal opportunity union.
And, absolutely.
Whoever wants to make the blocks can
and
make
so
the blocks.
So he said to her, he talked to her, he says, this is great. You're doing this. But don't you, isn't there somebody else around? You should have another lady here. You got no friends that are doing this? He says, oh, yeah. So they brought on another gal. So it's the two of them. You know, can kind of be together and not just be an all-male mason. It's great.
Yeah.
They're working away. You know? So we had a picture taken when we were there of the 50 people. We pulled them all together for us to stop what they were doing. And it was fantastic, just the smiles, the happiness. Because this school is about the kids.
Yeah.
It's about breaking cycle of generational poverty. But at the same time, it's providing jobs for the community. These are local people working and jobs that they will be able to continue on because this project is multi-year. It'll be going on for years as we build dormitories. We'll be building a guest house. We'll be building more staff housing. So there's a lot of work yet to be done.
Is there a chapel?
It's in the plan for phase three.
So I'm assuming they receive some Catholic education as well.
There'll be masses twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays, and they've got a religious nun who will be teaching catechism.
The dining hall is actually a multi-purpose room, mm-hmm. and there's at one end is a raised stage area, so it's perfect for setup for mass in the dining hall, which also is very efficient use of the facilities. So they, you know, you wouldn't be able to build a chapel large enough for 500 students. So it's very good to be able to use that what they have for that purpose.
And to go back to the fundraising, we have stage two coming up, or this year.
That's right. We have to because we were so successful in recruiting students. The school has been overwhelmingly accepted by the local community. We were hoping to have as many as 200 children for this year, but we ended up with over 310 at last count, and Father's had to cut it off for more people because we're at capacity. So during calendar year 2019, we will be building dormitories for both boys and girls. And that will start in April, and the reason for April is because they have 3-week period between terms in late April and May, so there'll be a series of construction get started with equipment alike. I expect the construction will continue on through the second and third terms as well to be able to get it done.
Are your pictures on the 53-week miracle, are those online?
Yes, they are.
So I would encourage people to go to the website to check those out. It's unbelievable. New Year's Eve 2017, so basically January 1st, 2018, basically the day before, right? New Year's Eve. Nothing, just a dirt patch, and 1 year later, this compound is there.
The pictures that are on the website and on Facebook on are aerial pictures of the complex on January the 7th of 2019, hence the 53 weeks.
Yeah,
and they were taken from a drone that was done as part of the TV recruiting. That a TV ad, a video about a minute ad with Father Julius and talking about the school and where it's at and what's happening. And it was really cool. We saw all the drone videos they sent to us and then what ended up in the TV show So we took some snaps, you know, with some screenshots from the drone video.
Awesome.
To show the magnitude of the complex.
Yeah. Well, again, if folks love the want to support it and love the idea and the mission of Father Julius, I would definitely encourage them again to check out your website. What was it again?
www.buildinghopeinkids.org.
Or on Facebook, Building Hope
in Kids Uganda.
Yes, Building Hope in Kids Uganda on Facebook or on the website. Get involved.
One other thing, Jason, I'd like to mention is that last November, as we were continuing our fundraising, through some networking, people who knew somebody, the head of a family foundation in Milwaukee called me up. Or I was left a message. I should call him. And we talked for a while. And he called me back a half hour later. And he said, John, says, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to offer you a challenge grant of $200,000. And this was in early November. I will pay that. Our foundation will provide you that grant if and only if you raise $200,000 between now and end of April 2019.
Wow. That's a good challenge.
And that's, $200,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we swallowed hard and said,
all right,
we're in.
Yeah.
We accept.
So for folks that are interested, they're basically only contributing 50% of the money that's going to go to the charity.
That's right. Because we are going to make that challenge grant.
Yeah.
We're over two-thirds of the way there, over three-fourths of the way there now. We've still got 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And any
well, let's not make it sound too easy. We need folks to go to the website.
We need to close it out.
Yeah.
We need to move on.
Yeah.
And move on because even beyond that challenge grant, we still need $150,000 this year to build those dormitories.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the project.
It is. And on a personal note, I retired some years ago from a professional in a Caterpillar. I was an engineer and project manager and doesn't seem like I'm retired very much. I retired from one job into another.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no to Father Julius.
This one pays better though.
It does.
It's the eternal reward.
You got that
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, we so appreciate you guys coming with us. Let's put a plug in for next week because next week we're going to have your son on the show. Kevin is going to come and talk to us about his organization, right? Which is
We Dignify.
We Dignify. Thank you. See, I didn't have to look at my notes. You took care of me there. I appreciate it. So again, folks need to get involved, help support Father Julius, the kids in Uganda, and go to the website, which is
www.buildinghopeinkids.org.
And make a donation, which will be doubled by a fantastic sponsor out of Milwaukee. And so we can hopefully get those dormitories built and get those kids out of the classrooms so we can have even more kids show up next year.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. If you're just tuning in, you missed out. So go back and listen to our podcast. We had John and Kay Griot on from St. Patrick's in Washington talking about the St. Patrick's Nursery and Primary School. I always have to stop and think about that because we would call it preschool. But nursery and primary school in Uganda, which is the vision and mission of Father Julius, who was at Epiphany and Holy Trinity, and then finally St. Patrick's in Washington. So we appreciate you guys coming. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose hell. What God is doing is allowing our free will choice. He never wants us to say no. He always wants us to be in love with him. And people need to understand, after we die, you only got two choices, heaven or hell.
Beauty.
Smoking or non-smoking.
Exactly.
That's it.
Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and the Morning Glory team.
Monday through Saturday at 6 a.m. on Catholic Spirit Radio.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We have had some fantastic guests with us today. John and Kay Griot were here, and they're actually still here. We're going to put them on the hot seat for our gospel reading today, as we always like to do. But before we do that, I just want to recap our conversation and encourage you to go back and listen to it on our podcast. And again, you can get the new app for Catholic Spirit Radio through the Google Play Store or Apple iTunes. It is free, and it also comes in Spanish. So get our app, and you can always go back and listen to all the fantastic podcasts of yours truly, as well as Bob and Lynn Johnston, who are on right after this show on the weekends. So we were having a conversation about St. Patrick's Nursery and Primary School in Uganda. That is the vision and mission of Father Julius, of local renown. Father Julius, if you remember, was at Epiphany in Normal, as well as Holy Trinity in Bloomington, where he was working on his master's degree, I think, at the time, right? And then he went to his PhD at ISU. His last role here in the diocese was at St. Patrick's Church of Washington and St. Monica's of East Peoria. He was also at St. Mary's in Bloomington for a while, and St. Patrick's of Myrna in Bloomington, and Blessed Sacrament in Morton. So he did a good job of covering the central Illinois area. And the 501c3 that has taken over the fundraising aspects for his school is also reaching out through the rest of central Illinois up through Aurora and Bloomingdale, Canton, Champaign, Tremont, Towanda, Washburn, basically all over. And so, again, I would encourage you to go to their website, which is
www.buildinghopeinkids.org.
Or find them on Facebook at Building Hope in Kids Uganda. Like their page, go to the website, make a donation. Right now they have a matching grant from a family foundation up in Milwaukee that is matching dollar for dollar up to the first $200,000 that they received in the first quarter of this year. So go and make a donation and get credit for twice as much after that donation is matched. So, again, we thank you guys so much for coming. We're going to get to the gospel reading and then put John and Kay on the hot seat and let them give a reflection on what their thoughts are. This week's gospel is from Luke chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and the gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. Thoughts? You had asked before we started if it would be in reference to our conversation. And I said, usually with the Holy Spirit, it often is. So,
well, I like to focus on the latter part of the gospel reading there, which had to do with give, and the reward will be in proportion to how much you give. And of course, we're talking about heavenly reward, not earthly material things. But in giving to our project, in giving to those you don't even know, you don't know the result of those of your charity giving, but God does, and He'll multiply what you give, and there'll be great reward for you in heaven.
Absolutely.
It mentioned also give to where you don't expect to be given back. So whether it be lending or giving, give for the sake of giving for the kingdom of God, So by helping children in Uganda, this is not going to come back in my lifetime to impact me. I don't know. I don't expect it, but we're not doing it for anything for ourselves or for recognition. We're doing it to help the children to follow Christ and to say, to give to others.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I can add anything else to it. I think it's a very, apt gospel reading for the conversation we had today. Like I said, it typically always is. The Holy Spirit has a way with our calendar. He sets up great interviews when it is a reflection upon the gospel. So I don't think I have anything to add. I think that it's definitely a long gospel reading, so a tongue twister at times there to get through it. But I absolutely agree with you. I don't know that I would use the term lending when we expect not to give it back. That's truly giving. It's a great testament to God's mercy and to what we're called to do as Christians in order to provide for those who are not only just in our immediate community, but in our greater community, our global community as a whole. So I thank you guys so much for coming and taking the opportunity to give us a reflection on the gospel. One more time, for those that are listening that want to get more information or get involved, the website is
www.buildinghopeinkids.org.
Perfect. Check it out and make a donation, and you will be pleasantly surprised with hopefully your eternal reward in heaven for helping sponsor Father Julius's vision and mission by building this school in Uganda.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to talk about the school.
Absolutely. This is Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. This hour has been brought to you by Meyer Bramley Insurance on East Washington. Stop by and have a conversation. We'll answer all of your insurance, retirement, estate planning questions. No charge. We never charge clients for advice or for conversations, so feel free to stop by. We're in the Arches 1, and we would be happy to help you out. I wanted to touch a little bit on optics of our Catholic Church. I know that for myself anyway, I feel like it's been somewhat frustrating. I'm a big Twitter subscriber, Twitter user, tweeter. I'm not really sure what the exact verbiage is for what people do on Twitter, but I switched from Facebook to Twitter, I don't know, a year or so ago. My wife and I always shared a Facebook page, so if you want to find pictures of my kids, you can find my wife and I on Facebook, and that's where all of that is. But about a year or so ago, I switched to Twitter and have started to get the hang of it. I like it because it's shorter, it's sweeter, it's to the point. It tends to be a lot more news, not necessarily, you know, people selling their shoes instead of having garage sales, which I feel like Facebook can get to be a lot of time. So if you're looking for a social media outlet that's more just news-based, maybe check out Twitter. Anyway, one of the things that frustrates me nearly on a daily basis is the optics that I feel like the Catholic Church has been putting out, especially on Twitter, because again, that's the platform in which I see it. I'm sure it happens everywhere else too, but Pope Francis has a Twitter handle, and I'm sure it's probably not him specifically tweeting. That's my assumption anyway. It might be, but whoever it is from the Vatican, it seems like almost on a daily basis, there's a tweet about loving Christians or forgiveness or those types of things, which I definitely don't disagree with. But from an optics standpoint, I feel like right now, with all of the issues that we've had, especially here in the United States, but also in other countries in regards to the pre-sex abuse scandals, I feel like when you don't come out strongly on pre-sex abuse and the support of those victims of that abuse, when you turn around then and post tweets like that every day, it becomes frustrating for myself, a what I would consider to be a regular Catholic on the street. And so I think that that's frustrating. I think also that's been highlighted here in the past week in regards to some of the optics with former father, Cardinal McCarrick. Obviously, over the last year since the Vigano letter broke last summer in regards specifically to Theodore McCarrick, the cardinal who was ordained in 1958 in New York and served in the Diocese of New York and New Jersey and Washington, D.C., and there was another diocese that he was a bishop of. I can't remember off the top of my head. But when it came to the allegations of sexual predation that he had over the decades, and who knew about it and when they knew about it and what they didn't do about it and allowed it to continue, and the accusations going all the way up to even Pope Francis. In the past week, former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick obviously was laicized. He was removed from his priestly duties. I guess a couple frustrations and concerns that I have about that. And again, going back to the optics of the situation, almost at the same time, Cardinal Farrell was announced by Pope Francis to be the interim between during the Sede Vacante period. If Pope Francis were to resign or die, that Cardinal Farrell would become basically the man in charge during that period before a new pope is elected. And so to me, the issue with the optics, if you're unaware, and again, as always, I would encourage you to do your own research, and I'm just trying to provide you with some information that I find interesting or confusing or concerning, and encourage you to do more research. But Cardinal Farrell lived with Theodore McCarrick for 6 years when they were both in Washington, D.C. together. He was also very close with Marcier, the John, what was the name of his organization? The Legionaries of Christ, who also had a lot of priest sex abuse issues. He was very instrumental with that organization and with Marcial. So not to say necessarily that that's an indication of him specifically, but if the allegations continue and you continue to be kind of front and center in multiple circles of influence where those things happen, I think people start to draw their conclusions. I know that Cardinal Farrell was interviewed. He was asked specifically about the allegations, Theodore McCarrick, and what he knew about it since they lived together for 6 years. And he said that he was completely unaware, that he hadn't ever heard of anything in regards to wrongdoing on McCarrick's behalf. And I guess I just find that hard, not only hard to believe, but if you're going to live with somebody and there's been these swirling accusations, I would think you would at least kind of have your antennas up and be on the lookout. And for him to be interviewed and for him to say that he had never heard about it, had no knowledge of it, and didn't experience anything for the 6 years that they lived together, it would call in credibility from my perspective on that situation. And so for McCarrick to be laicized at the same time that, you know, somebody who was very close to his inner circle was promoted to the role of the Carmelinga, which is that interim position during the Sede Vacante period, after one pope is gone or typically dies, but obviously in the case of Benedict, resigned until a new pope is confirmed, he basically becomes the point man at the Vatican, the guy that's in charge of getting the College of Cardinals together and going through the process. So I guess my concern from an optics standpoint is, while I think it's a positive that Theodore McCarrick was laicized, I would withhold judgment on that because I think that there's probably a good chance that he continues to live out the rest of his life in some type of church-owned property, and I'm sure he probably will continue to receive a church stipend, salary, pension, whatever that form that takes, which I don't really think that that's true justice for someone accused, credibly accused at this point, and convicted through an investigation at the Vatican. I don't think that that's justice for those who were victims of his. And then at the same time, like I said, for someone who was definitely in his inner circle there in D.C. to be promoted to such a prestigious role at the Vatican, and as long as he outlives Pope Francis, to be, you know, the next the next guy in power, even for whatever short period of time. I just think the optics are bad. And, you know, just because there's smoke doesn't always mean that there's fire. But I think right now, aside from maybe your beliefs on exactly who knew and who didn't know and all those types of things, a lot of times optics are more important than even the truth, because it compounds the issue one way or the other. And so I just find it frustrating, again, that it seems that this papacy is completely devoid of acknowledgement of what the optics are on a daily basis. Again, going back to even just from my perspective, the tweets that are put out daily without any acknowledgement for the victims of priestly misconduct. We'll see in the next week or so. The cardinals from the USCCB are going to meet in Rome and discuss the priestly sex abuse. I'm not going to expect much to come out of that conference. I hope that I'm wrong, but at this point, it seems like they continue to be soft-spoken or not spoken at all in regards to truly handling the sexual abuse crisis that we've had in this country. And I feel that there's somewhat of a lack of honesty in regards to what the actual crisis is. And until we start to call things out for what they truly are, it's going to be impossible to actually fix those things and move forward. So I would look forward to hopefully being wrong here in the next few weeks as this council commences. But again, I think, you know, my biggest beef today is the optics of this papacy, and that we need to be honest and truthful and transparent. And at this point, I have yet to see much of that. And I feel like every decision that we make and every statement that we put out continues to contradict the actual optics of the situation. So pray on that. Again, I always encourage you to do more research, learn about the faith, learn about some of these backstories so that we can better evangelize those that we meet in our daily lives, so that we're in a position when questioned about issues and situations that we can speak knowledgeably, speak from the heart, and speak with the Holy Spirit. And so again, I would always encourage you to learn, and learn. It's not difficult these days. We all have a smartphone, or the vast majority of us anyway. Go to YouTube, type in Catholic, watch videos. Go to the internet and Google Catholic news and read and learn about the faith. I appreciate everybody being with us this week. Hopefully spring is right around the corner. I look forward to getting my son involved with the Troops of St. George as he turns 6 here in June. And that's the age that he can join. And if you missed our podcast on that, I think it's a great organization. I'd go back and check it out. They're all about learning the faith for young men and fathers in the outdoors. So we look forward to hopefully having it warm up and get out to go do some camping. But again, thank you all for being with us. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.